I look and make sure that all the employees are productive. Because if your employees are not productive and your customers are not profitable, you don't need them.
Hello, and welcome to BrandTuned, the only podcast on branding that covers IP, which is intrinsic to business and brands. I'm Shireen Smith, lawyer, brand strategist, and curious business owner, keen to discover the secrets of effective brand building to create a successful business. My guest today, Ruth King, known as the Profitability Master, helps companies become and remain profitable. Hello, Ruth. Welcome to the BrandTuned podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Great. So tell us a bit more about your background. What do you actually do to help people?
Well, my background is actually engineering and finance. And when I was in MBA school, I found that I really had a knack for numbers. And that's where helping the small businesses become profitable and build wealth actually came from. So I started out as an engineer, decided I didn't like engineering, and fell in love with numbers. And I've been working a lot with small businesses since 1981. So what is that? Almost 40 years. And helping them grow profitably and build wealth. Because if you grow only profitably, you can still go out of business.
Oh, really? That sounds surprising. How's that? Okay. Is it cash flow or something?
Exactly. Now, think about it this way. If you have 80%, like a client of mine had, of your business in the restaurant industry pre-COVID, and all the restaurants got shut down. So he had a choice of going out of business or finding other customers. Had he just sat there and done nothing, he wouldn't be in business today. So that's a situation where economic government regulations and things like that force the shutdown of an industry. And if all of your clients are there, even if you have a very profitable business, you can still go out with them. Another case is a business owner who was very profitable, had three of his customers, file bankruptcy the same week, leaving him holding the bag for over $1 million in receivables. And he couldn't survive because he couldn't fund the receivables that he lost. So my rule has become, even if you're profitable, no more than 20% of your customers in one industry, or not to have any single customer to have more than 20% of your revenues.
Yeah, that's often a metric that insurance companies use. I mean, like in law, they often ask whether you have 20% of your revenues from any single customer. And that's a red flag for them if you do.
And that's why, because you have a tendency, you don't have to and you may not, but the likelihood is if you don't go out of business, then you're going to have a period of great struggle when that customer goes out of business.
So when did you start your business?
In 1981, January, I think 16th or something like that, 1981.
How do you actually help businesses with their profitability? What do you provide for them?
Okay, so essentially we look at their P&L and their balance sheet and we figure out where they want to go. And number one, we have to make sure that they are profitable and that they're generating enough profits that they are comfortable with at the present time. And then we take them to where they want to go. And I'll give you a story here. I started working with two partners who bought their business from their former boss. And it was about $750,000 in revenue. 16 years later, they walked out the door with $9 million in cash. So they knew they wanted to grow it. They knew they wanted to grow it profitably, and they knew they wanted to sell it. And I helped them along the process. And we did a lot of work with respect to cash flow, with making sure that their financial statements were clean, making sure that they took really good care of their customer base, that their customer base was profitable. And we got rid of customers who were not profitable and grew the business. And it was cool. It was a lot of fun.
So is it a kind of outsourced finance director role that you provide them with?
Yes, you could say that, but it's not only the finance piece. We do operations too. Don't get into the HR part of things. Don't get into the sales part of things. But I look and make sure that all the employees are productive. Because if your employees are not productive and your customers are not profitable, you don't need them.
Well, that sounds like quite a difficult thing to measure. How do you measure that?
You measure it by what's called net profit per hour and overhead cost per hour. So net profit per hour is for every billable or every revenue producing hour of your, that your employees produce their products, how much profit actually drops to the bottom line. So if you're in a service business, and we can generally say, okay, we have about 2,080 hours a year that, you know, somebody can works for us. And of those 2,080 hours, how many of them are actually working on things that actually produce revenue? And let's say that 1,000 of the half of it is, and your overhead cost is, you know, $10,000 divided by 1,000, your overhead cost is $10 an hour. So that's your overhead cost. And I'm just giving very easy things that we can kind of do in our head. And then we have to say, okay, our net profit, let's say, was, you know, $500. And we have 1,000 hours that created that $500 of net profit. So we're earning 50 cents an hour. Not exactly where you want to be. But I see it over and over and over again until you start looking at profitability and net profit per hour. And that's the only thing that measures. Percentages don't matter.
Right. But if somebody's role is, say, admin, and they're not generating revenue, how do you calculate them?
They are part of the overhead piece of it then. So if they're admin, then we have to say, okay, how much revenue is it going to take to pay for this person's wages? And it's a mathematical calculation. And you have to say, okay, we have to generate, let's say, if this person is making, let's say, $10,000, and I'm just using round numbers that I can do in my head. And let's assume that our gross margin is 40%. We know that we have to generate $25,000 in revenue to pay this person's $10,000. Is this person helping us generate $25,000? It's much more of a subjective thing. But if this person is spending, you know, half of their time on Facebook or Instagram or any other social media type thing, the likelihood is the answer is no. Okay.
Really?
So that's the way I look at it from an admin point of view.
Okay, so even if the social media is generating interest in the business and inquiries, you would regard it as not generating.
Okay, we're talking about two different things here. We're talking about social media that somebody's spending on personal time.
Oh, I see.
Not social media that is somebody in the marketing department doing to help generate interest in the business and things like that.
Ah, I see. Okay. So you would be measuring their time. They do time recording.
Correct. I promise you what you measure gets improved. So if you start tracking time and you start tracking what they're doing, amazingly things happen to increase profitability. It just does. You know, what everybody's watching gets improved.
Yeah. So what were the challenges at the beginning in terms of how did you begin to get clients? How did you attract people?
That was hard. That was really, really hard. It took a couple of years. Because in the beginning, nobody really believed that I knew what I was doing, number one. Number two, I didn't have any client references. Number three is, you know, there were no success stories. So I had to find people who were in trouble and who wanted to get out of trouble and would take a chance. And that's what I did. And that's what built the reputation. And that's what built the proof that what we are doing works.
So do you provide one-to-one service or are you providing one-to-many?
Both.
Both.
I do individual consulting, which is the one-to-one. And then the one-to-many can be done many different ways. I've got many videos up which talk about different parts of financials, you know, a profit and loss statement, a balance sheet. My books also, you know, the book Profit or Wealth, which is Simple Rules for Sustainable Business Growth, and The Courage to Be Profitable, which is understanding of P&Ls and balance sheets in English rather than accounting babble. So, I mean, the books also help. And that's the one-to-many. The one-to-one consulting is, you know, me working with that company that grew and sit for 16 years and walked out with $9 million in cash. So for people who are willing to do that, that's more one-to-one.
Right. So what books have you written?
I wrote, my last book came out in October, which is Profit or Wealth, and it is Sustainable Rules for Business Growth, and The Courage to Be Profitable, which is its prequel. The reason I wrote the second one is because people were only worrying about being profitable rather than worrying about building wealth, and you need to do both. Mm-hmm. So that's important. And then I've written a series called the Ugly Truth series, one of which is the Ugly Truth about cash. It's 50 ways employees and vendors can steal from you and what you can do about it. I wrote the Ugly Truth about managing people, which is always so much fun. And then I wrote the Ugly Truth about small business, which is the story of 50 entrepreneurs, including myself, and all the pain and heartaches we went through and what we learned from it so that you don't make the same mistakes we did.
I must say, writing is a great way to clarify one's own thinking. And, you know, is that why you write?
I write to turn on the light bulb in people so that they get it. My goal in life is that people understand how to get and stay profitable and understand their P&Ls and balance sheets. So once they understand that, it gives them freedom because they can make good choices based on good financial information. And at that point, you can do what you want.
Yeah. So what do you think drives you?
What drives me is people's success. Having the light bulb goes on when I'm teaching a class or somebody going, I finally get it. And those are the types of things that actually work well for me in terms of what drives me. And my drive is people doing well.
Great. So what was your experience of creating your brand at the beginning? Did you start out calling yourself the Profitability Master?
No, it took me until I was 45 years old to finally figure out why I was put on this earth. And that's how that name came about. And I thought, you know, don't get me wrong, I was working in this industry and doing these types of things, but it never, you know, the light bulb didn't go off in my head until I was about 45 to finally realize that this was it. This is, you know, what you want to do. And it actually focused me really, really strongly because I started doing things that were only focused on getting this done, getting profitable, getting building wealth, and all the extraneous things kind of fell away, if that makes sense.
What sort of names did you call your business initially?
Now, it was always called Business Ventures Corporation. It was that name never changed. But the reason I was doing what I was doing was the light bulb that went off.
Okay. I think I read somewhere that you've got several businesses. How many businesses do you have?
Over the years, I've had seven. I have Business Ventures still, and I have the business that is all of our online training, which is Profitability Revolution.
Right. So it's in a separate business.
Correct. And all the training there is, there's about 300 and some odd programs on finance and marketing and sales and whatever, totally focused on small businesses rather than, you know, the Fortune 500 companies. You know, if you're awake at 3 o'clock in the morning trying to figure out how to make payroll, you'll probably find the answer there.
Okay, so they're purely online courses that people can go and buy.
Correct. If you invest in one of the books, I give you a password to watch all of the programs on Profitability Revolution free forever.
Wow, just for buying a book.
I want to get this out. Yeah, just send me an email and I'll send you the link.
Yeah, it would be great to add that to the show notes. So what about other aspects of developing a brand? Do you think that's important for a business to develop its brand? And what does that mean to you anyway, developing a brand?
Your brand is what you stand for. It's what people know you for. So I'm known now as Profitability Master. There are, you know, many of my clients are known for different things. Some are known for taking care of exceptional service in the mind of the customer. And your brand has to, somebody thinks of you, they have to think, okay, what is it? Do they think of you positively? I mean, there are negative brands too. So if you don't take care of your customers, if you don't take care of your employees, if you're an owner who screams at your employees, your brand is going to be very negative and people won't want to work for you. However, if you have built a phenomenal culture, if you have built something that is people and employees flock to, then that brand is very positive. And you just have to decide what you stand for. And then your company revolves around what you stand for.
Right. And how do you actually in practice achieve that? How did you go about it for yourself?
I did it simply because I focus on making sure everybody gets profitable and builds wealth. And that's what I focus on. So that's how I built mine. And people know now that, you know, if we're going to do this and we're going to work together, we're going to be really into the financials. We're really going to be into the operations which support the financials. And that's what I'm really known for because that's what I do. That's what I live, eat, and breathe. And that's what owners have to do because everybody will follow in their footsteps.
Right. And what about the visual dimension? How will they recognize that it's you if they see you? Do you do social media, for example?
I've got LinkedIn. I do Facebook. And a lot of stuff is on my different websites. So if you Google me, I'm around.
So do you then... It's as yourself, as Ruth King, rather than as the Profitability Master?
Yeah.
Or do you have both?
Yeah, I do both. Most of it's around me. But, you know, you'll see Profitability Master on everything that I do.
And what about the colors and logos? Did you get any of those?
Not really. I mean, mine, you know, I've got a couple of my companies that I work with. All of their trucks are a specific color. So, they're, you know, one of them here in Atlanta is known as the Pink Plumber. And I'll guess what color all of their trucks are. And so there's a lot of times you can do it by color. Steve Miller, who wrote the book Uncopyable, his color is orange. His book is orange. His clothes are orange. His glasses are orange. You know, everything he does is orange. He sends stuff out on Halloween. When you think about the color orange, you can think about Steve Miller if you've ever read any of his books.
No, I've never heard of him.
Yeah.
And he's called Orange, did you say?
Yeah, he's Orange.
Wow, he must like the color orange a lot. Is it videos, blogs? What do you post on social media?
Most of it is I do a weekly, what I call an e-zine, which I started writing in 1999. Mm-hmm. And that gets posted on LinkedIn. It gets the links on Twitter. It's on a whole lot of different sites where you can get that. And occasionally I'll just post something, but mine is generally done once a week. I'm pretty consistent about it. In fact, I'm very consistent about it.
Right. Do you have a team helping you? Generally, not just on social media.
Yeah, I've got two people who work with me, one of which who's been with me for over 30 years. And then the production crew for all the videos and things that we do are all part-time. I use them when I need them.
So presumably, I mean, a business like yours, you're not going to be exiting. Is that right? Because it revolves around you and your methodology. Or is it possible to sell a business like that?
When I leave, I have written manuals. I have books and training and things like that online. So they'll, you know, stick around after me. We're also creating a training organization right now to teach a class called Building Profit and Wealth, which we're in the process of taking and getting people to train and help train there. So that will go past me. Will the individual consulting go past me? No. that will go away. But all the other things that we do will survive me.
So is profitability, is what you do, is there anything controversial in it, or would other finance people agree exactly what the measures are that somebody needs to do to succeed?
Profitability is black and white. There are no shades of gray. Okay. You're either profitable or you're not. Your financials are either right or they're not. They're accurate or they're not.
So the skill, where is the skill then? It comes more in the way you apply it, or rather than the knowledge?
You got to understand it, number one. Number two, you have to understand how to apply it. Number three, you have to be willing to apply it on a consistent basis. So a lot of what I do is, you know, we set the goals, we set the objectives, we set the budgets, and we do monthly financial reviews to make sure that we're on budget, make sure the sales are tracking where they need to sell, to track, you know, marketing's doing what it's supposed to be doing, operations is doing what it's supposed to be doing. And we review all of this monthly, which all goes into the P&Ls and the balance sheets. And so as you start looking at everything on a monthly basis, knowing what the end in mind is, it actually does work.
Right. Can somebody work out what to do by buying your books? And if so, which book would be?
Actually, you can. I mean, you can take my books and they're in English. If I were starting, I would start with The Courage to Be Profitable and go through that book, put together your overhead cost per hour, your net profit per hour, understand what a P&L and a balance sheet is, and do the ratios every month. And then once you've done it, go into Building Profit and Wealth to get everything fine-tuned and help you build the wealth side too.
And does it differ based on industries? I mean, I know in law, for example, they're selling their time, a lot of firms. Whereas if you're selling products, you know, you're not selling your time. So does the profitability, all the calculations differ based on your industry?
Nope. The calculations don't differ. The actual net profits per hour probably will differ depending upon industry, or the averages for the industry will be different. But the actual calculations are the same, whether you're a manufacturer, whether you're a law firm, or you know, another service provider, or a mix of the two, like somebody who's a heating and air contractor, or a plumber, or an electrician, where they provide both service and product. Same thing, same calculations, probably different average net profits per hour.
So this business that you gave as an example, that exited with 9 million, what sort of steps did you need to take to get them to be saleable?
Number one, I had to teach them what a P&L and a balance sheet was. All right. That was step number one. Step number two is once we knew that and we grew to a certain point, we had to find the right management team. And that was difficult. But we finally found the right managers who understood that they had to run a profitable department. And then we had to make sure that their P&Ls and balance sheets were squeaky clean. When the company that bought them had a forensic accountant come in and, you know, audit their books. And one of the owners was said to him, I'm a little bit nervous. And the accountant said to him, are you hiding anything? He said, absolutely not. And said, then you don't have anything to worry about. And they weren't. I mean, they had squeaky clean books. There was no, well, let me just take this and let me charge this personal thing and hide it on my books. I mean, there was none of that. It was clean. So that was there. And then the hardest decision was the decision to sell, believe it or not, because they were running a very profitable business. And one of the partners wanted out before the other partner did. And they had a buy-sell agreement and everything like that. But they decided that they didn't, you know, one of them didn't want to be in business without the other. And so we searched for somebody as a broker who could help them sell the business. And I found them one. And he took about 2 years to find the right company to buy them. And those negotiations were a lot of fun. They were stressful beyond belief.
Yeah. So it's a long process selling a business.
Yes. It's not something that you can say, okay, I want to, you know, sell my business today and 30 days later you have a check. It generally doesn't work that way.
So there's so many skills you need to run a successful business. For example, you pointed out recruiting the right managers. Do the business owners really need to develop all these skills, or is it possible to hire in the right skills?
You want to make sure that you hire the right skills, because you as an owner, as your business grows, number one, can't be in every single inch of your business. You'd be micromanaging and you'd be stymieing growth if that's where you want to go. So the owner has to learn, you know, initially owners manage, and then at some point they have to learn to lead, which is totally different than managing. They have to let them, they have to find the right managers and then let the managers manage, and they oversee the entire process and set the tone, set the brand, set the culture for the business.
And you coach them through that as well, or do you just stick to profitability?
No, I coach them through that. There's many times it's like, let them go. Let them do their thing. Go away. Go find a hobby.
Great.
No, it's true, because a lot of owners, think about it, when you're starting a business, you're working, you know, not 24/7, but I mean, you're there a lot. And then all of a sudden your business grows and you need more people, otherwise you'll never sleep. And letting go is really difficult for owners who their entire lives, you know, 20 years or so, 10 years, whatever, have just been in business. Go find a hobby, something else that can help you and help the business overall and give you some perspective. And the ones who do transition successfully out, the ones who, you know, spend 30, 40, 50 years just, you know, all they do is business, when it's time to retire or it's time to, you know, they exit, have to exit the business, they're lost.
Yeah. And even when they do exit, people often find themselves lost.
And that's hard, because, you know, they may not have the capability to run the business anymore. And then, or they may not have the desire to work, you know, all those hours and everything like that. And then they said, okay, I want to be gone. You know, I'm working with one client right now who is selling his business on Friday. And he said to me, he said, I worked, you know, my entire life, and he's, you know, in his 60s. And he goes, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. And it's fear in a lot of respects, because it's totally different. All of a sudden you don't go to work tomorrow. What do you do?
Yeah, very tough if you don't have hobbies. So thank you very much, Ruth. I just have one final question, which is, which brand out there do you particularly admire and why?
I admire Nike. Mm-hmm. And because Nike's thing is just do it. And my whole philosophy is just do it.
Great. Well, thank you.
My pleasure. Hopefully I helped your audience.
My guest next week is M. Shannon Hernandez, who is all about that joy in marketing, business, and life. She's a sought-after expert in the world of content marketing and strategy. Shannon is known globally as the creator of the content personality wheel. If you've enjoyed the podcast, why not join my newsletter to receive fortnightly updates giving more insights on aspects of brand creation and brand building? Just download my 7 costly mistakes with your business and brand, and you'll be added. Details are in the show notes.